Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to James chapter 4. And we're going to look at verses 5 through 10. I've entitled this afternoon's message, Humble Thyself in the Sight of the Lord. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. And I was before the Lord this week, and one of the things that God revealed to me, and I knew these things, but He had to confirm it with me, is the condition of man's heart and the condition of the world's heart right now. Now, we're going to look in Scripture to identify the dilemma, but God always has a remedy. Can I get amen? Amen. Did you know that whenever we find ourselves that needs to be fixed, God has a remedy for His children? He doesn't have a remedy for others, but for His children, there's a remedy. Amen? Until you become born again, there is no remedy to those. As we read these scriptures, and we're going to see how this message will unfold. And so, if you're there at James 4, let's read the scriptures, and then we'll move into our message. Amen? And it reads, Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? What does that mean? That means God desires all of our adoration toward Him. He desires our whole heart bent toward Him. But look at this. He gives more grace. Therefore, He says, God resists the proud. I want you to remember this because we're going to come back to this point right here. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So there are some things that God is saying we must do in order to get our heart set upward and onward. And in God's mind, He has our full attention. And so here's one of the keys in verse 8. Draw near to God, and He will what? Draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves. Here's the key right here. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will what? He will lift you up. He will lift you up. Praise God. And so, I need you to catch this. Adultery may slay its thousands, people that fall into that trap. Disobedience may claim its millions, but pride will outdistance all of that and causing individuals to be lost. Pride. God's grace can cover many sins. Can I get an amen? It can cover many sins, but pride will not allow a person to receive the grace of God. We're going to see that there's one element that mankind deals with on a daily basis. And God cannot work in a person that's full of pride. He can't. And so, because He gives grace only to those who are humble. Can I get amen? Amen. This is why King David loved. Because you know King David, he wasn't perfect, was he? By far. But one thing that God said about King David, he had a heart after me. And so let's look back at that scripture again in verse 6. But He gives more grace, therefore He says, God resists the proud. He resists the proud. Those are the things that God will turn His face away from. Prideful people. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil. See, did you see the sequence there? submit to God. That means humbly, and then now resist the devil, because the devil's going to fight you in your mind. He's going to fight you in your home. He's going to fight you in relationships. He's going to fight you on the job. He's there because he knows you are marked by God. And once you become marked by God, meaning a child of God, he's going to buffet you 24/7. And he's a relentless foe. But we have the word of God. It says resist him. How do you resist him? How do you do that? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Meaning, submit to God with a humble heart. Say, God, I need you. How many times have you come into a situation in life, you go, oh, I got this, I'll handle this. And yet we crash and burn. Why? Because even the most little insignificant thing in your life, you got to give that to God too. And so consequently, saints of God, pride will be the downfall for more people than all other combined. Pride. We're going to look at this right here. Look at this. Pride. This is something that God showed me in Scripture. Remember when Jesus said, God will forgive every sin, but there's one sin that he cannot forgive. And which is that? But here's the thing. The ones that reject Jesus, they're the ones that fall into hell. But what caused that? Pride. Pride. You got to catch this morning. You see, saints, we often miss the depth of the implications in this well-known and often quoted verse of Scripture. Right up here, look at this. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So when a person is lifted up in pride, look out for that fall. Because God's word says a haughty spirit. And I want you to catch that word haughty. Haughty. Just remember that, because we're going to come back to that one word, haughty. It's in the Bible for a purpose. Every word in the Bible has meaning to it. Can I get an amen? And God wrote it down for us to be aware of. And that one word, haughty, we're going to come back. Look at this. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a what? Before a fall. The relationship between pride and destruction is significant. If pride is present, destruction will certainly follow it. It will come automatically. That's the door opener to destruction, is pride. Pride, pride, pride. Every month now, in Hillcrest, there's a pride parade. Why did they call it pride? Because they're full of pride. And they hate God. Wow. Since pride is listed in Scripture as sin, and since death is a parallel thought with destruction, then it follows that as death follows sin, destruction follows pride. Wow. We often, saints of God, are often quick to recognize the pride in a person, but do not equate destruction with it. Pray for people. How many people have you witnessed in your life? And you told them about the love of God, the grace of God. Come to Jesus. He'll heal you. He'll save you. And a lot of them will go, I'm glad you found God. But that's not for me. And they move on with their life. And then years later, you find out something hideous happened. They had an opportunity. Well, because the Scripture tells you that pride goes before what? Destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. Saints, it is not difficult to recognize many of the characteristics of a proud person, such as haughty comments, facial expressions, and the proverbial up nose. You ever seen someone like this? Oh, you don't know people like that, right? They walk around like this. No, you don't know those kind of folks. But there's folks like that. But when we see a marriage or a family that has been destroyed, or a business that has come to a horrible ruin, we often don't recognize that part of that pride played in its demise. Pride will play in the demise of anything that we attach ourselves to it and we're prideful about it. I want you to catch this right here, because when I went before the Lord in this message, Ezekiel showed me and had to remind me that when Sodom and Gomorrah was fried, in other words, God sent fire and brimstone and destroyed them. You know what we think? We think that it was because of their immorality. We think it was because of their rebellion and their transgenderism, because there were transgenders back then too, and homosexuality and fornication, adultery. God showed me something that was even greater than that. Because all those things that I just mentioned, God can forgive all those things. Can I get an amen? I don't care what you've done. He can forgive anything. But this is what Ezekiel showed me. Look at this right up here in Ezekiel 16. Look, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughter had pride. First thing was mentioned was pride. Fullness of food, abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty. Did you catch that? Haughty. Meaning they were boastful, proudful of their iniquity. And I'm going to show you what haughtiness does, the door that it opens to. And then I'm going to show you the remedy in a moment. Praise God. God always has a remedy. Amen? Look at this in verse 50. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. So it first started with pride, and then the abominations came after that. Wow. And it was right before me, says the Lord. Therefore, I took them away as I saw fit. Meaning, he wiped out that whole city. Like that. Like that. And so if you want to read that account, it's found in Genesis 19. We don't have time to go into that account, because the angels came and got Lot and his family out. Praise God. Let me just say this. When God's ready to judge, he's going to get us out. Can I get an amen? He's going to take us out. What do I mean? We're going to get caught up in the air. We're gone with him. How many can't wait for that moment? I can't wait till we're changed and we will be like him. Praise God. When God listed the reasons he sent judgment to Sodom, it was not their immorality or just that topped the list. It was pride. Look at this right up here. Committing abomination was the last on the list. And it came only after the statement, and they were haughty. Haughty. I'm going to have some fire and brimstone fall right now, I think. Haughty. In other words, God's reference to the one sin for this city was an infamous. It came only after two previous references to their pride. Only two times. It was not their homosexuality that placed the inhabitants of Sodom beyond the mercy of God, because God can save them. How many believe that God can save them? I believe that. Come on. He can save any kind of immorality. But he will resist the proud. But pride will not allow a person to repent. That's the problem. Without repentance from sin, there could be no mercy. There's no mercy without repentance. You have to humbly come before him. Look at this. In Proverbs 28:13, he who covers his sins will not prosper. How many of you want to prosper? Then confess your sins to God. Because we commit those things on a daily basis. But whoever confesses and forsakes them, he will have mercy. Praise God. See, sometimes these little simple proverbs, we have to be reminded daily. Because life is tough. We go through a whole lot of trials. We go through trials on our jobs. We go through trials with our children. We go through trials with our relationships, at work. We're always facing trials. But we take them to God. Can I get an amen? We have to take them to God. There's no other place to take it to. Saints, pride places a man or a woman beyond the grace of God. When a person is beyond God's grace, guess what? Destruction is imminent. Just like we've been reading. Destruction is imminent. It will happen. It'll come. Pride distances a person from God's grace because it precludes the humility that's necessary for one to receive the grace of God. So in order to receive the grace of God, we got to get rid of the pride. And we got to learn how to be humble. Can I get amen? Look what 1 Peter wrote right up here. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. And be clothed with what? Pride? No, humility. For God resists the proud. I need to hammer this home to us. Because sometimes when things are not going right, we gotta put our heart in check. God, am I being proud about something? Can I soften my heart against a situation? Oh God, I need to submit fully to you, God. Because God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, he says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. See, God wants to exalt you. He wants to exalt your life. He wants to bless your life. He wants to see you prosper in this world. He created you for his glory. He didn't create us to suffer and whoa, woe is me. No. He wants to see beauty come out of our life. But there's a great exchange. I give him my pride. I give him all that is useless. And then he gives me grace. He gives me the humility to believe. He gives me the faith to move forward with him. Did you know without faith, it's impossible to please God? But look at this. Casting all your care upon him, for he what? He cares for you. You want God to continue to care for you? Walk in humility. Stay humble before him. Look at number two right up here. Pride is a product of worldliness. It's a product of worldliness. And we're going to see this in 1 John chapter 2. But this is what 1 John 2:16 emphasizes on. It's right up here. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the what? Pride of life. That one's the tough one to conquer. But we have the remedy. But look what 1 John says right up here. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is what? Passing away, and the lust of it. So everything that we're proud about, you know, and it could be for all the wrong reasons, it's passing away. Learn to submit to God. Learn to pray. Learn to love. Learn to forgive. There's some people in your life you need to forgive. And by not forgiving, that's a sign of pride. It's a sign of pride. It took me a while after I got saved. There were some folks that I felt did me wrong. But God had to humble me. And I had to look at the cross. Because Jesus was on that cross. And what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is where we need to have the same heart like Jesus. Amen? A same heart like him. Look at this. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. See, that's the key. Continue to do the will of God. Continue to do what God's called you to do. Can I get amen? How many of you can honestly feel that you've been called? Amen. Amen. And if you know you've been called, do the will of God. Learn to submit to God. You see, saints, these basic evil categories that encompass all sin, we find this in Strong's Concordance. Look what it says about this. Look what it says about this type of lust. It's this right up here. It's a longing, especially for what is forbidden. There's things that come across our life at times where God said, that's forbidden. But we long after those things. And you know why you long after it? Because there's pride. If you get rid of the pride, guess what? You'll learn how to honor God and say, you know what? I can't see that no more. I can't listen to that no more. I got to separate myself from these forbidden things that God said it's forbidden. A longing is not necessarily evil, saints of God, but longing for something that violates God's word is evil. Another definition of lust is this. It's called inordinate desire. Desiring the things that are not ordinary. Desiring the things that are contrary to God. How many of you know people right now in your life that have inordinate desires? What does that mean? They're walking in rebellion, and they're walking in sin, and they're not walking toward the will of God. We all have people in our life, and we know that. But I'm trying to help us understand what the dilemma is and what the remedy is. Because God always has a remedy. Can I get amen? He always has a remedy. And so, saints, the American Heritage Dictionary of English Language defines inordinate as this: exceeding reasonable limits, immoderate, or regulated, disorderly. So those things are disorderly. Case in point, our next door neighbor. They'll play their music until 4 in the morning. And you can hear everything they're saying. Because they're not far away from the side of our house. Inordinate. Disorderly. But guess what? We was like that too. And this is where God has given me grace. I'm sitting back there and I'm getting angry because the music's so loud. I can't even hear my own TV. And then I hear God saying, you was like that too. I said, okay, God, give me the grace to pray for them. Amen? Sometimes we just have to pray for folks. It's easy to get mad. How many of you, when you used to have those wild parties, you didn't want the cops to come? So I'm not going to call the cops on them. I'll just go to the other side of the room and go to bed. Let them have their way. Jesus, help us. Look at this right here, number 3. Pride is founded on a false impression. A proud person makes the assumption that he is better than others, or at least independent of others, even including God. However, saints, any comparison that a person may make with others is purely superficial and subjective at best. And it is not wise. Look what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church regarding this. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Did you catch that? Let me read it again. Maybe you didn't catch it. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Basically, what it boils down to, people that are conceited. People that walk around that, and they think they got it all. But I found through this message that God is the... How many believe that God is the lifter of our head? How many believe that God will fix anything that's broken? How many believe that God will heal someone when the doctors say, you're going to be dying next week, we got to pull the plug? Huh? John, is that you? It is you. Praise God. I couldn't tell because of your hat on, but yeah, that's you. A couple of months ago, he was on life support. A ventilator was keeping him alive, and his brain waves were gone. And they told the family, what do you want us to do? Because he's not alive no more. The machine is keeping him alive. And we all went down there, laid hands on him, and prayed. We said, it ain't over until God says it's over. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. And he's a walking, living testimony. God raised him up. Hallelujah, from the dead. Can I get an amen? Raise him up from the dead. I'm going to call you Brother Lazarus. Brother Laz. That's Brother Laz right there. Brother John Laz. Lazarus was raised from the dead. Oh, come on. Let me ask this question. Is anything too hard for God? Nothing's too hard for God. I'm going to continue to glorify God and what he did in your life, John. Because it's not over until he says it's over. I don't care what those doctors said. They're nothing but practitioners. You know what that means? Yeah, they're just practicing on you. That's it. They didn't create you. They don't know how to create. They don't know how to create cells and the fiber of your being, but God does. He knew how to fix you. Praise God. And so number four is this. The way up is down. The way to be lifted up is to submit yourself and fall down at the feet of Jesus. Why? Because his ways are different than our ways. How many believe that? You know, we try to put God in our box. We try to rearrange the scriptures to fit our lifestyle. And yet God says, uh-uh. Look at this in Isaiah. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. So get that out of your mind that he's thinking like you. He's not. Nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Many of us have to line up to God's word. Can I get amen? But we want to compromise it. No, that doesn't say that. Well, no. No, that's the Old Testament. We always try to find ways to squirm out of a situation that we find ourselves in. My goodness. Saints, a carnal mind would seek to exalt itself. But this is not God's way. Can I get amen? We just read that. Before one can be lifted up, he must humble himself. You see, my friends, before honor, humility must be present. Look what it says in Proverbs right up here. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is what? Humility. Humility, not pridefulness. Humility, walking humble before him. Waiting on him. And a lot of times we don't want to wait for him. We want to go ahead of him. Sometimes we just got to wait. And wait, and sometimes he'll have you wait a long time, and then he will answer you. So in God's reckoning, the way up is down. Look what else it says in Proverbs 22. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. How many want that in your life? How many of you want riches, honor, and life? Okay? It's by humility, not by pride. It's by humility. Staying humble before God. Allowing God to use you. Allow people to speak into your life. Even sometimes it'll cut you. Allow elders and pastors and those who have a little bit, maybe a little bit more wisdom to help you receive it with gladness and joy. No one wants to wreck your life. But sometimes God has the final remedy. And that's His Word. And it starts with humility. Saints, Jesus exemplified this truth. Paul explained that Christ humbled Himself unto death at the cross. Listen, Jesus, when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, He labored in prayer. The Bible says that blood was mixed with His sweat. He travailed in prayer. He anguished in prayer. He toiled in prayer. But guess what He was praying for? He was praying for us. He was praying for you. He told His Father, if there's no other way, then He said, nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. Look at this. I have the proof right up here in Philippians 2:8. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death. Even the death of the cross. You've heard me share this before. What if God knocked at your door and says, I need you to give up your son to die for the world? What? You talking to me? I'll point you next door. And you go, no, I need your son to die for the world. Wow. That would break your heart, wouldn't it? You would fall on your face. But why, God? But why? Well, God the Father sent His only Son to die for us. Therefore, God also highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name. See, Jesus humbled Himself on the cross. He didn't even say a negative word. He didn't even curse the Romans. He didn't even curse the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the scribes that were there. They all were slandering Him as He hung on the cross and He was butt naked. He didn't have a terry cloth on. He wasn't like the depictions we see in the movies or on a portrait. He was naked and He was beaten so bad you couldn't even tell His gender no more. His flesh was ripped from His body. And yet, He didn't open His mouth. We're never going to understand that kind of love until we get to the other side. Because that was the most hideous, most dreadful thing that anyone could lay their eyes upon. And Josephus, who was a historian, was an eyewitness account who wrote many of the incidences that he saw with his own eyes. He's a Jewish historian, which a lot of the rabbis used, a lot of the apostles used Josephus, because he was there. He wasn't mentioned in the Bible, but in history books, he was there. And he said it was so hideous that many screamed in horror and they turned their face from Him. Just imagine what His Father did when He had to turn His face from His Son. That's how ugly pride is. That He would get to go to that length to destroy it in our life. He had to go to that great length to shatter the pride in our life so that we can be saved. You see, my friends, humility brings grace. It brings grace. It brings favor. It brings prosperity. It brings God's, hallelujah, anointing that He wants to put upon you. Grace is the arm that God extends to a lost individual and pulls him or her out of sin in any given situation. That's God's grace. How many love that? How many love that God did that for us? We're here because of His grace. Grace is available, hallelujah, to all, but not all individuals will benefit from it. Why? Because of their pride. Pride will keep God away from them. Because we just read, He resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Grace is free, but it does have a specific and stringent prerequisite. Grace is given only to the humble at heart. No proud person can receive it. You got to show me where God doesn't resist the proudful. We see it throughout Scripture. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Look what Titus wrote right up here. He wrote this, for the grace of God that brings what? God's grace brings salvation, has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the problem now that I find just at large. And I'm not going to mention names. I'm not going to even mention ministries. But the consensus is this. No one's looking for His appearing. No one's waking up saying, God, are You coming for me today? Meaning, are You coming for the church? Because what we just read is looking. Say that with me. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing. How many of you want to see Him appear to bring you home? Listen, this life that we have is not the end game. It's going to go back to the dirt. It's going to go back to the dust. But we want to be with Him, and we want to see the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why? Because verse 14 says it. Who gave Himself for us. He gave Himself to you. He gave Himself to me. That He might redeem us. You know what redeem means? Buy us back from the devil. Did you know before you got saved? Who was your father then? The Bible says the devil. Adam and Eve, when they sinned, the devil became their father. And sin has now come all 6,000 years and it was passed down to us. Look at this. Who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed. Everything. Every stinking thing that we could have ever committed. He redeems us. Praise God. And He purifies for Himself His own special people. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are special to God. We're special to God. We're His own special people. Look at this. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. His own special people, zealous for good works. Meaning when God saves us, it should be built in you now by the power of the Holy Spirit to do the thing that's right now. It should come automatically, that desire. Doesn't mean we always hit the mark all the time. No. But that desire should be there. Oh, God, I want to please You now. God, I want to worship You. God, I want to praise You. God, I want to do Your will. God, I want to have fellowship with You now. That's what happens when you get saved. He gives you a new mind, a new heart. And now you want to do the things, like it says right here, the good works. And then He says, speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Why did He end that right there? Let no one despise you. In other words, don't let no one mock you of your Christianity. Don't let no one mock you that you're walking with God. Can I get amen? Don't let no one despise you. He said, you know what? Yeah, I was like that. But God has given me a new heart. God has saved me. God has delivered me. God has redeemed me. And now I got a new body waiting for me. Hallelujah. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Oh, come on. You got to walk around and say, oh, God, before me, who could be against me? There are times when the devil will show up in your bedroom, and that's when you got to rebuke him. Can I get an amen? God has given you authority to rebuke the devil. Rebuke him with all your might, because God is in you. God is with you. God will lift you up. God is with us. Can I get an amen? And guess what? He will never leave you nor forsake you. 35 years now, walking with God. He's never left me. Hallelujah. Doesn't mean I feel him every day. No, it's not about feeling. It's about walking in faith. It's about walking that God did what God did for me, he can do for you. How many believe that God has given you a new life? Huh? Has he given you a new life? Praise God. Yes, he has. He's given me a new life. That's right. He chose us. Did you know he chose you before the foundation of the world? He already knew your name. He formed you perfectly in your mother's womb. And we have blessed mothers and fathers that came together and brought us forth. Can I get amen? But God formed us in the womb. Praise God. And he had a plan for you. Praise God. Praise God. I need you to catch this right up here. Let's go back here. Look at this. Pride does not just disqualify one from receiving grace, but it causes God to resist an individual. It causes God to take a step back. I want to work in your life, but you won't let me in. Did you know that God's a gentleman? Did you know that God won't bull rush you? Look at this, right up here. Pride does not just put God out of reach. It puts God on the offense, actively preventing a person from finding him. People that are proud, they're never going to find him. We was talking about a situation yesterday. A mutual friend that we know, dying of liver or kidney failure, asked if we can go pray. No, I don't need prayer. Well, guess what? That'll never find God that way. And there's folks like that. There's folks like that everywhere. All you can do at that point is pray from afar. Oh God, have mercy. Oh God, give that person a mind to be saved. Give that person a heart to repent, God. But it's real life. It's true life. And the book of Romans talks about that very simple thing, which is pride. Pride. I'm going to paint a picture here. How many of you ever got a burn mark falling down and you skid your arm? Okay, and then a scab develops, right? I wanted to bring this photo, but I said, nah, it's too gross. It showed a guy that was on a motorcycle, and he wrecked his motorcycle, and he skid on the concrete. Maybe almost a quarter of a block. And all his flesh was scraped off his forearm. And then they showed it. They showed him like 3 weeks later. And it was a big, giant scab. And then underneath the scab was a whole bunch of stench and pus, and it was so infected. When I was putting this message together, God was saying, that scab is what pride is. Because underneath that scab, you're going to find this developing. And so, look at Romans right up here. Romans 1, 28 through 32. Look at this. And even as they did not retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, meaning a reprobate mind. These are people that have rejected God because of their pride. Oh, I don't want, you know, I'm going to do my thing. This is my time to do my thing. They want to get James Brown on y'all. It's time to do my thing. Oh, come on. Oh, you never listened to him before? Okay. Look at this. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do the things that are not fitting. Okay. The things that are not fitting. So I need you to catch this. That man's scab, the doctors lifted it up and they had to clean out all the stench and the pus and the... It was hideous to look at. And so this is what is lying underneath pride. Right up here. When a person is prideful, look at it says, to do the things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. It doesn't end there. It goes on. Look at this. Undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death. And not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. You know what that means? Not only the ones that are committing these things, but those who know and see these things and you approve them. Wow. This is what's underneath the scab of pride when you lift it up. This is why God, hallelujah, God has to come down, hallelujah, and wash out that scab that's underneath with his blood. Can I get an amen? He's got to wash out all that filth in our life. And that's what he did at the cross. That's why he had to come to the cross, because there was no remedy. There was no remedy. There was nothing. Mankind couldn't do it. Doctors couldn't do it. Because with that scab, they washed it out. They had to put the scab thing back on. And it was still festering. But when God, hallelujah, tore down that pride, lifted up that scab, came in with his blood, and washed us clean. Can I get it? Amen. Praise God. Woo, thank you, Jesus. I am so blessed that God took care of that issue for me. He cleaned out our scab. He took all that junk that was there. We just read. And he gave us life. He gave us purpose. He gave us true love. He gave us a sense of purpose in our life to live our life according to his will now. We can love each other now. We can raise our children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. We can say, I forgive you now. We can help the needy. We can feed the poor now. We can praise him. We can praise him when there's 10 people here or if there's 100 people here. We can still praise him. Our greatest right here, our greatest example of humility is Jesus. If you want to emulate anything in your life, it's Jesus. I want to be like him. Can I get amen? Because I don't want to be like you and you don't want to be like me. You know why? Because once you fail and once I fail, you'll be so disappointed. But Jesus never fails us. Can I get amen? He never fails us. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God will never let you down. God will be there to lift you up, to help you, to heal you, to deliver you. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so without question, the greatest example of humility is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He lowered himself to become a little lower than the angels to die for us. It says it right up here in Hebrews. Look at this. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he might what? That he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Can I get an amen? So he came down. He took that whole scab. He cleansed out our womb and healed it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He didn't have to put the scab back on like the doctors had to put that scab back on. He removed it and washed us in the blood. How many believe we serve a mighty God? Saints, in all points, he became the perfect example of humility. The book of Philippians reveals that while he was equal with God, he made himself of no reputation. He didn't do it like this. Oh, get out of the way. I'm going to go die for them. No. He was born in a pig trough. He laid in a pig trough. He was born with a whole bunch of dirty animals that were in there because it was so cold. And guess what was in there? Cows, chickens, you name it. He came in humility. He wasn't born in a palace. He was born in a cave. And he did it for us. Look at what it says right up here. And we're coming in for our clothes. Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. He came to be like us. And he was the example of the one who took all the sins of the world and he nailed it to the cross for you and for me. Our Lord Jesus Christ exemplified the proverb that honor comes after humility. He humbled himself and then was exalted to the right hand of God. His Father exalted him. When Jesus went up in glory and the angels told the apostles, what are you looking at? The way he left, he's coming back again. Remember, he left from the Mount of Olives and he floated away. He says the same way he left, he's coming back again. And guess what? When he comes back again, he's going to land on the Mount of Olives. And guess who's going to be with him? The saints of God. Us. We're going to be with him. And then he's going to come and destroy all of his enemies, all the God haters, all the ones that were preached to, and they, because of their scabby pride, they're going to be dropped into the lake of fire. Wow. Saints, this is why it's very important. Please, don't stop praying for your loved ones. Don't stop praying for family members, co-workers, acquaintances, friends, cousins, aunts, uncles, parents, grandparents, grandchildren. Continue to pray for their salvation. Because we see what's happening in the world, and we know that God is about ready to come back. He says it will be like the days of Lot and Noah, and we're seeing them right now. We're seeing it right now like no other time. Everything that God said, well, what happened is converging right now at this moment in real time. And God is saying, are you ready for His appearing? Are you looking for Him? Or are we just too busy every day? Because when He comes, it's going to be, Pastor, you remember we talked about, it's going to be a suddenly. Because when the rain fell on Noah's day, it was a suddenly. 130 years he built that ark. And they mocked him, they laughed at him. And then the judgment came, and it was a suddenly. Well, when Jesus comes back, it's going to be a suddenly. He's going to take the church out first, and then we're coming back with Him. You see, the prideful people that's left behind, they already got it all figured out where we went. The aliens came and got them. UFOs got them. No, Jesus came for us. Amen? And so, for those of you right now that are watching, that have been praying, that have loved ones, maybe you're watching for the first or second time and you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to give you that opportunity. I know this message probably sometimes is not a popular message, but guess what? It's truth. It's reality. And God came to save us. He came to destroy that wicked thing in our life, which is pride. I didn't come to Jesus until I was 30 years of age. But prior to that, walking around like a proud peacock, thinking I could whip anybody I encountered. Wrong. There's people right now that need the grace of God, that needs the love of God. And if you're watching, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you. That God will do something supernatural in your life. That God will help you. God will strengthen you. But more so, God will give you the gift of eternal life. And so bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer by faith. And watch God do the miraculous. The miraculous in your life. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank You, God, for my life. I do believe on Your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that You died for me. And the blood that You shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask You now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor You and to follow You all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise in the house.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.